For the rest of us, would you turn with me to Luke 11, verses 1 through 4? And we will also be reading Psalms 11, verses 1 through 7. Luke 11, 1 through 4, Psalms 11, 1 through 7. I've entitled this message today, Your Kingdom Come. Your Kingdom Come. Beginning to read in verse 1 of Luke 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Now Psalms 11, verses 1 through 7. You need to read, In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, Flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice, and upright men will see his face. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that each one of our hearts and minds will be open and receptive today to your word. I pray, Lord, that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all that you would be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Astronaut James Irwin is one of the few men to walk on the moon. As he stood upon the lunar landscape and looked up at the Earth, he prayed for the first time in his life. He thought about the strife among nations, poverty and hunger and rampant evil, and he thought to himself, what is more important than man walking on the moon is that God should walk on the Earth. This is the desire we express when we pray, Your kingdom come. I think we need reminded what we're doing when we pray that. And we should be praying that because Jesus said so. Amen? So the word kingdom in the original language means rule or reign. That's what kingdom means. God's kingdom is unique. It's not a human kingdom. Earthly kingdoms rise and fall, but the reign of God will prevail and last forever. God's program involves the rule of righteousness. Pilate asked Jesus what kind of king he was. Jesus responded, saying, My kingdom is not of this world. He told his followers, The kingdom of God is within you. In a spiritual sense, we are living now in the kingdom. When we pray, Your kingdom come, we are asking God to advance and expand his kingdom in the hearts of his people. It is a kingdom that is both present and future. It is here now in us and will one day come in fullness. First major point. Your kingdom come is literally an evangelistic prayer. When we pray, Your kingdom come, we are asking God's will His kingdom to come. That's what we are asking. It's a call for God to increase His kingdom, to convert the hearts of unbelievers, to draw people to a saving knowledge of Christ. We can all agree that right now, the culture we are living in and the culture worldwide is really messed up. It's going at breakneck speed away from God instead of toward God. There are exceptions. Thank God there is a remnant in the earth. But that remnant has been getting smaller. So, when we pray, "Your kingdom come," that is a powerful, powerful prayer asking God to move, literally. Because when we're asking God's kingdom to come, we're asking Him to exert His will in us and in our culture. It's a prayer we should be praying several times a day because we are living in a messed up nation. We're living in a messed up world. I'm just going to level with you. My opinion, in the physical, our nation is past the tipping point. My opinion. But God. And when God's people pray, "Your kingdom come,"
amen,
things happen. Second major point, your kingdom come is an ethical prayer. When John the Baptist announced the kingdom of God was at hand, he called people to repent. We are confronted with a choice: to live according to Christ's virtue or to follow the values of our culture. Following the values of our culture today will surely land you in hell. There is no doubt about it. The values of our culture violate God's value at every turn. I had a conversation with someone recently. Actually, there were three people I had a conversation with. And it came up to, well, it came down to this. Who are you going to vote for? Let me ask you something. When we go to the voting booth, are we voting for a personality? Or are we voting for policies?
Yeah, that's right.
They both start with P.
Yeah.
But if we're voting for personalities, we've got this thing wrong. Christian values violate the culture of this world. And that's why, as believers, we need to stop and think about what we're voting for when we get in that voting booth. Because if we vote one way, we are voting for murder. You know, the left has come up with all kinds of slick ways of naming things, okay? It's not a baby. It's a fetus. With our borders wide open, and the estimates are, the true estimates are that in the last almost 4 years, 30 million illegals altogether have come across our southern border. That's not what they're telling you in the media that you're looking at. But that's the real numbers. Okay? Now, when you're promoting the wide open border, you don't call them illegals. You come up with a fancier, less offensive term. You call them undocumented migrants. It's still the same thing. But in changing the name, it kind of softens it. It's the agenda that the left is up to. When you vote that way, you're voting for the promotion of LGBTQ. We are in June. The whole month of June, they have hijacked and made it Pride Month. Well, I want to tell you something. My Bible is 100% truth, as yours is. And it says pride goes before the fall.
Yes.
Pride goes before the fall. When we vote that way as believers, we will be held accountable one day because we had a choice. And I want you to understand something. A lot of people don't think about this, and I don't know who too many pastors are saying it. But the blood of the murdered cries out from the ground. Every single one of them. And when we give our approval to leadership that promotes abortion, every child that is aborted under that regime's leadership, there, every child's blood is on our hands when we vote that way. Every single child that is murdered under that regime that we helped put in, their blood is on our hands. See, when you preach like this, it gets really quiet.
Yeah.
You can hear a pin drop. See, I want you to understand something. I love God enough to preach His Word for what it says. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. See, everybody that's here today, when we get in the voting booth, you're not going to be able to forget this message. Fact is, I may even just pray that God brings it up. Believers cannot approve of everything that violates God. We are fickle and double-minded. If we pray, your kingdom come, and then go and function that way. Don't follow the values of our culture. Get into the Word of God. Saturate your soul with the Word of God so that we align ourselves according to Christian virtue and not by the world's values. Third, your kingdom come is a prophetic prayer. Believers see farther on their knees than philosophers see on their tiptoes. I'll say that again. Believers can see farther on their knees praying than philosophers can on their tiptoes. History is headed for a climax, a kingdom conclusion. We place our trust in divine providence. One day, Jesus will return. No one knows exactly when this will play out, but we do know for sure that God is in control of all things. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Fourth, your kingdom come is a protest prayer. We are opposing every worldview that is contrary to God. This kind of prayer is a political action combined with a spiritual energy. David Wells of Gordon Cornwall Seminary calls this kind of prayer a refusal to accept as normal what is pervasively abnormal. We're living in a day where this culture is trying to make us all believe, and the agenda starts at a very young age in our school systems to try to program our children to believe alternative families are normal, and they're not, and they never will be. God said no, and He called it an abomination. God said no. It drives me absolutely nuts when I drive around in June and drive past churches with their rainbow flags up. I drive through and I look and I say, going to hell? Going to hell? There's going to heaven. Going to hell? Going to hell? Do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody needs to say it. We're in the situation we're in right now because the church dropped the ball. So somebody has got to come out with a battle cry again. God can turn this thing around. Nothing's ever too far for God to redeem it. As I said earlier, I believe in the physical, our nation's past the tipping point. If God didn't intervene, there's nobody that can fix it. Listen, I want to explain something to you. Donald Trump is not anybody's savior. But our nation needs his policies right now. We might not need his personality, but we need the policies. Because the policies are right. The other side, the policies are wrong, and they always will be wrong. Those policies will never not be wrong because they violate God. Number five, your kingdom come is a battle cry. How come everyone is not bowing before the hallowed name of God? Because there is another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. People are enticed and enslaved by sin. This is the very essence of the human predicament. Our desire as Christians is for God to be honored and revered, but we realize that there is enemy opposition to God's kingdom. We are in a war, guys. We're in a war. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and in a walk with Him, then you are part of the kingdom of light. And we pray your kingdom come. We're praying that the light of the kingdom comes. And light has always and always will dispel darkness. Amen. Darkness is the absence of light. Never forget that. You can walk into a completely dark room that is so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face, and you light one candle in that room, and it dispels the darkness. I've been places where it's so dark that it's like that outside. One of the times we were out in Africa, we were out at night in a place called Bunda, way outside of the city. And I'm telling you, it was a cloudy night, and when it's dark out there, it's dark. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And then I heard the sound of hyenas. And they were getting closer, and I couldn't see anything. I was running and groping in the darkness to get the car and shut the door. Didn't really want to experience hyenas at any time, especially when I couldn't see anything. God must be honored. Because I'm just telling you guys, when God is not honored, bad things happen. You see, it's either His way or it's the highway. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said that there's a wide road that leads to destruction, and many go that way. But it's a narrow gate that leads to eternal life if you find it. Everybody does not go to heaven. As a matter of fact, not anywhere near the majority go to heaven. Jesus said, narrow is the gate and few find it. That's the reality of it. Number six. Your kingdom come is a submissive prayer. You understand, as believers, we need to be submitted to God, right? We don't tell him what to do. That's the problem I have with the whole health and wealth and extreme faith movement. They have this idea that they can tell God what to do. Well, I got news for you. We need to humble ourselves and let God tell us what to do. The function of prayer is not to inform God of our plans, but to call on Him to fulfill His plans. I'm going to read that again because that's... The function of prayer is not to inform God of our plans, but to call on Him to fulfill His plans. See, in our culture, we have a big problem. We're cultural believers, most people, and we got a problem with just going ahead and doing what we want to and then ask God to bless it. And then when it falls apart, shake our fist at God like it's His fault. We got to come back to God's leading. We're not supposed to be leading our own lives. Once we're born again, we're supposed to be submitted to God. Your kingdom come. Your will, not mine, Lord. It's not my kingdom come. Some people are involved in personal kingdom building. Proper prayer is that God's kingdom be extended. Matthew 6 in verse 33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things that we fret about, all these things that we worry about, will be added unto us as well. No more reason to fret, right? Personal kingdom building is a big problem. It's even a big problem with churches. Let me explain what I mean. When I see a church that sets up and the first thing they do is target people in other churches to steal them out of their churches, that is a church that's not right from the foundation, because they are building their own kingdom. And how do I know that? Because they're willing to steal rooted good people out of other churches to build their own kingdom instead of building God's kingdom. It's true, isn't it? Think about it. There have been many churches over the years that have come into the area and immediately started targeting the churches in the area and created a vacuum. And I've been paying attention. While some of the people end up rooted in those churches, many of them end up disillusioned and don't even go to church anymore after a few years. I've been paying attention. So it's destructive. This has been always something that has grated on my heart when people steal sheep. This church has been here for 21 years, and in those 21 years, I have always discouraged everyone from trying to steal sheep out of other churches. I am so dead set against that. We're not building our own kingdom here. We're just trying to help build God's kingdom. And the very first service that we had 21 years ago, I stood right in the pulpit and said that. Do you remember, huh? Some of you were here that first service. Do you remember? I stood up there and told them, listen, I want you to understand something. We had 230-some people in here in the first worship service. And I told everybody right then, this church does not exist to steal people out of other churches. We're here to reach the lost. And if people come of their own accord from other churches, we'll minister to them. But it's not going to happen because I or any of you have been enticing people out of other churches. Leave them alone. Now, that being said, I need to say something else. By all means, snatch all the people you can out of the cults in the area. If you can get Jehovah Witnesses to come to church with you, by all means, and steal them right out of that church. All right? You have pastor's permission, because I do the same thing. Okay? Same way with Church of Scientology. Same way with Latter-day Saints. By all means, bring them in. We'll minister to them. We'll get the truth in them. Because none of them have Jesus in the right place. They have him as the Son of God and a great prophet, but not as God the Son. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Number 7. Your kingdom come is a comforting prayer. Anxiety should be a reminder for us to pray, to cast our cares on God. Do we remember to cast our cares on God? Or do we go to bed and twirl this way and twirl this way? Obviously, I know how that works. I've done it. And then we twirl this way again. And then we twirl this way again. And we get these worry lines. Worry, worry, worry. When we realize that our sovereign king has things in control and that life has a purpose, also that there is a kingdom apart from our secular culture, we breathe a sigh of relief. We've got to always remember, as I said earlier when I was sharing my heart with you, when I shared about Joey, the tragedy, we have got to remember and not forget the goodness of our God. Never forget the things that he has done in the past, because when we're in the valley and we reflect on those things, it keeps us moving forward, remembering that our God is good. Number 8. Your kingdom come is a unifying prayer. There's only one kingdom of God. All who are born again and trust Jesus are one in the body of Christ, no matter what denomination or non-denominational it is. We are born again. If we are in agreement on who Jesus is, if we meet the criteria of what it is to be saved and to walk with God, then we're brothers in Christ. We may be different. We may have different doctrine. You got churches where they speak in tongues and churches that you don't. This one's one that believes in all the gifts for today. So there are many different flavors, just like there's 31 different flavors of ice cream at Baskin Robbins. You go in and you get your flavor. I know it's kind of funny when you say it that way, but really, people have a certain flavor that they look The flavor I was raised in would not work for me anymore. I've changed. Somebody know what I'm talking about? I've developed, and I'm not the same person anymore, thank God. Your kingdom come is an identifying prayer. As believers, we hold dual citizenship. Have you thought about this? Paul stated in Philippians 3:20 that our citizenship is in heaven. As believers, our citizenship is in heaven. This world is not our home. We're passing through. And I'm getting older now, and I'm starting to recognize that time frame goes by fairly rapidly. I'm kind of amazed how fast the time goes by. We are governed by human law, but also by biblical truth, or by spiritual law. We are loyal to our nation, but we recognize that we belong to God's kingdom. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Our true citizenship is in heaven if we're born again. I get frustrated with the way things are in our culture. I'll just be honest with you. I have my moments where I'm like, do you? Be honest. Somebody else get that way. I get frustrated. Then I always have to come back to what we're talking about in this point. I got to remember, this ain't my home. Now, we're called to do everything we can to keep things right here while we're here. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You don't just stick your head in the sand and say, well, it's not my problem. I'm just passing through. I'm going to heaven. That's the wrong answer. We need to do all we can to keep things as godly as possible while we're here, right? That's why the church is referred to, or the bride, whatever term you want to use, as the restrainer. Our problem is, as the church has lost its influence, is that we have not been the restrainer we're supposed to be. Is that true or not? It stopped being preached by the pulpit, through the pulpit, and it stopped being practiced in the homes. That's what happened. So then you fast forward about, give or take, 50 years, and here we are. Everything that is wrong is being made to look right, and everything that is right is being made to look wrong. And if you are a righteous man or a righteous woman, you are looked at as a criminal. That's the culture we're living in. Your kingdom come is a realistic prayer. Some people view faith and prayer as some sort of emotional escape from reality. Karl Marx called religion the opiate of the masses. That's what Karl Marx called religion. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not into religion. So Karl can say whatever he wants about religion. Because I live, teach, and preach a relationship with a living God, not religion. Religion leads to death. Relationship with a living God leads to life. So Karl Marx says, religion's opiate of the masses, yet the truth is, when we pray, it is not to escape reality, but to find it.
Yeah.
In conclusion, I bet you were starting to wonder if I was ever going to shut up. Well, my conclusion could be kind of long yet. I'm just saying. Because of the culture that we are living in at this time, Psalm 11:3 really stands out to us today. And it says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer to the verse 3 is in verses 4 through 7 of our text in Psalm 11. Verse 4 said, the Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men, his eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. I want to tell you something. This wide open border that has brought millions of children unattended into this nation, that have been whisked up into child trafficking. These evil people, this evil regime that has caused this to happen, are going to pay a horrible price. As sure as God is on his throne, we just read it. They're going to pay a horrible, horrible price for the evil that they are doing. I don't even know if you realize that's what's been happening, but it has. Millions of children have been swept into child trafficking, and only God knows what's happened to them, and I don't want to know. Sick. On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. We're just passing through, guys. But along the way, we are held accountable. We will be held accountable one day for what we have done on this earth. The stands that we have taken, right down to how we voted when we went into the voting booth. We'll be held accountable for all of it. Every bit of it. Because God is righteous. If God was not righteous, and if God was not just, then there would be no reason to worry about all this. But he is righteous, and he is also just. And the fact that God is truly just should shake us to the core of our foundation. It should drive us to repentance. Thank God that we have repentance. Amen?
Amen.
I am moved to have an altar call this morning. You know your heart. You know what's been happening in your life. God knows even better. His memory is better than ours. But when we repent, he forgets. He remembers our sin no more after we repent. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west from us. So, if you've been convicted today in this message, I would just welcome you to come to this altar. And guys, let's get it right. Let's do it God's way. Come to this altar and repent and allow God to lead our lives. Is there anyone this morning? There should be out of a group this size. Not going to make anybody stand up here and confess anything out loud, if that's what you're wondering. Nothing like that is between you and God.
Pastor, I'm going to come forward for my son. Can I do this?
That would be a different time. Let's wait till after service. All right, let's all stand together. I pray we all ponder what we've seen in God's Word today, what we've heard, and that we get alone with God and we get ourselves right.
Amen.
All right? Well, Father, I just thank you for every single person, every man, every woman, every child in this place today. Lord, we're far from perfect. But Lord, we thank you that there is forgiveness available to you and through you. I pray, Lord, that the power of your Spirit will work your redemption in our lives as we humble ourselves, as we repent of wrong attitudes, as we strive to get things right. We welcome your Holy Spirit to move in us and move us, sanctify us, Lord. Move us closer to righteousness, Father God. Thank you that your righteousness is a gift that comes from you. So pour it out on us. And Lord, bring us back safely next weekend to hear from your word again. But throughout this week, may we ponder what we've heard. I pray that you will bring it up in our minds and in our hearts, Lord God, and that you will be the center of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.